you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It was however long ago today that the Mexicans handed the French their butts on the, it's kind of funny because I did some history, I don't know, a couple years back, and it looked like in slightly over a 200-year period, the French started 9 armed conflicts. They actually picked 9 fights. Every single one of them they lost, and they lost to the Mexicans. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yeehaw. Cervezas all around. We are facing a daunting task today, folks, and a daunting task I would like to introduce to the United States. Gary Olufsen, this is the guy who lent his AR-15 to a friend. The friend went out, fired a whole bunch of stuff. Seven or 800 rounds, I think it was. The gun had pulled a couple of doubles and a couple of triples. And someone reported it. ATF ended up the court convicted Gary Olufsen of transfer of an unregistered machine gun. The gun was malfunctioning. Rather than take a plea bargain and end up with a conviction on his head, he fought it, and he lost. Then he went to appeal. The appeal came back, and he lost. So the next step is the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, followed by the Supreme Court if the Seventh Circuit doesn't look at it right. What the court, the appeals court that he took it to, said was, by the definition of the law, he in fact was convicted within the legal definition of the law. Okay, so what's that mean? That means we need to get the law changed and martyr Olufsen in this case. We need to insist that this law be changed. If anyone's interested in looking up the actual, it's all over the internet, what law it was he was convicted of violating. If anybody is interested in looking at that and sending me different comments on how the thing ought to read, of course, got to be in legalese, let's do something. Let's submit it to some pro-gun people on the Hill and see if they can get this thing passed. If nothing else, use the sneaky tricks of the left and put it on as a rider to some other major bill so that we don't have to worry about this sort of draconian enforcement by the ATF. I came up with BATF. It must stand for Bureaucrats Against True Freedoms. And I truly believe that. I've never met anyone who was a federal law enforcement officer other than ATF agents who were so vehemently pro-gun for themselves but anti-gun almost across the board for the rest of the United States, seeming to not understand the Second Amendment is for citizens, not for the government. For the politicians to stand up and say, look, we shouldn't allow citizens to have guns more powerful than the police or military, or even as powerful as the police or military, really missed the point. Because a police or military armed against a society which is not appropriately armed is an imbalance of the way that the United States was supposed to be structured in the first place and is designed by the Founding Fathers in the Constitution. We should be armed. We should have the option of being armed to whatever level we so choose, let's stay reasonable about it. We'll carry on with this topic when we return from the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So the anti-gunners love to say that we should not have guns that are either we shouldn't be able to possess guns or we shouldn't be able to have anything that's, you know, the police and the military should be able to totally outgun us. For what reason, I don't know. I maybe because they feel that if we had powerful guns that we already do have, that we would just abandonly go out and start shooting authorities, which is not something that we do. It's, I should say, other than some sick-minded person. I got to tell you, I resent it so much. I have such resent for anti-gunners that would take some lunatic that takes a gun and uses it for an evil, malicious purpose and lumps them into the same pot as me. God, I hate that. The only similarity is I own guns and this person possessed a gun. That's the only similarity. That's it. It ends there. That's like saying lumping in everybody who ever has any kind of alcohol with a drunk driver that ends up somehow causing a school bus full of children to roll off a cliff and burst into flame. They're all lumped into the same category because someone had a glass of wine last week. It's absurd. Absolutely absurd. So I should be allowed to have, what, a 22 target pistol? Well, the police can come at me, the military can come at me, the federal authorities can come at me with a Mod Deuce, if they so choose? I don't think so, guys. I just don't think so. Your heads are just buried so far where the sun doesn't shine, just deep, deep, deep in the sand. You just don't get it. You just don't understand. Or maybe you do get it. You just don't want to. I've said it before. I'm going to repeat myself. If you don't have all the information on a given subject, you're not qualified to speak on it. You're just not. You need to gather all the information before you're qualified to speak on any given subject. Or at least have a pretty darn good understanding of the subject before you can really speak on it. Most anti-gunners that you will find know nothing about guns. They have never held guns. They know nothing about them. There was something, I forget what program this was on television, but they took a woman who was from the Boston area, as anti-gun as you could be. Oh, my God, guns cause crime. Guns cause death. Guns cause murder. Guns cause this, that, and the other. I think guns cause global warming phenomenon in her mind. I don't know whether or not guns created the internet in this woman's mind, but guns caused greenhouse gases and everything else. I even think anyhow, she was so anti. They actually sent her for a month to live with a guy and his son. They had an extra room. She stayed there. They introduced her to guns. She put in some time working part-time in a gun store so she could actually learn about guns. Well, guess what? After this entire thing, she wasn't so anti-gun. She was anti-bad guys having guns. We are all unified in having anti-bad guys having guns provisions. None of us want bad guys to have guns. Only the good guys should have guns, right? However, it's never going to be that way because bad guys are always going to get at least a certain point of the way to where they want to be. And if that's having a gun, they're going to get it. They're going to get it on the street. Unfortunately, we have a kind of a derelict society that has crept up throughout the United States over the last several decades. And it's within every sector, like every major city, even every decent-sized town, even small towns. There is a certain part of the society which has just got derelicts, just criminals, scumbags, and we have to deal with them. Unfortunately, they're getting more bold, more violent, more drug-crazed, and their numbers are growing. All right? As the population grows, the numbers of these derelicts grow. And I relate it to poor parenting. You end up that have derelicts that get together, and these derelicts have kids and raise them in a derelict society, they're going to be derelict children. They're not going to go winning the Nobel Prize. They're not going to be operating on the president when he needs to have a colonoscopy down the road. They're going to be carrying on these derelict duties that their parents and the influence around them when they grew up put into them. They're not going to know any better. They're going to be, you know, raised in that society, and within that society, they're going to be rewarded for being a derelict. You know, tattoos at 14 years old, who knows? Anyhow, I digress. We are under the, I guess, the subject of certain anti-gunners who actually have some position within a voting authority, be it a judge or a legislator, that don't understand anything about guns. They haven't had guns anywhere around them. They don't understand. They just go off this idea, as most of the time the people on the far left do. The anti-gunners are just, they don't understand anything about guns. They've never shot them. They've never trained with them. They don't understand why they're necessary for Second Amendment and freedom. They do not pay attention to history, where history shows an unarmed society is a group of subjects and will eventually be controlled, sometimes in the short run, sometimes in the long run. All right? To say we should ban guns from society would be, you know, in some people's mind, that would be a good thing. No guns anywhere. So even the bad guys couldn't get them on the streets because they didn't exist. Wow, wouldn't that be great? I mean, on the surface, doesn't that sound good? If all guns were completely banned, just completely banned, there were no guns. They didn't exist in American society. They didn't exist at all. Doesn't that, on the surface, sound good? Well, it sounds good until you think about it. Bad guys are bad guys, right? If we ban guns, it's going to get uglier, because now you're going to be attacked with knives and blunt instruments and all sorts of things that are going to cause tremendous trauma. You're going to be beaten to a pulp within an inch of your life, if not beyond, sliced and diced. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be physical, brutal, face-on attack. And once you start getting hit, hammered, and slashed at, it becomes very difficult to react with your own blunt instrument or knife to defend yourself. If you see a bad guy coming, bad guy might begin to point a gun at you, where then you can react, push the gun away, go to cover, whatever it is, at distance, and engage against your untrained opponent. Now you're doing good things. If you think bad guys are going to stop every crime ever committed with a gun, if anti-gunners who believe if we banned guns from society, which would not happen, it hasn't happened in England, hasn't happened in Australia, hasn't happened in Canada, hasn't happened in the other countries that they've tried to ban guns from. There's always going to be some kind of guns out there. These people that want to think that banning guns just across the board, they no longer exist in our society, they believe that every crime committed with a gun would no longer be committed. You wouldn't replace the gun with another object or a vehicle or a bat or not anything. They believe that those would actually completely end. If there was a drug deal gone bad, and these two guys end up shooting at each other, they believe that that drug deal would have not gone bad. Everything would have been okay if nobody had a gun. They don't believe that these guys would have pulled out other weapons and finished off this whole disagreement some other means. They actually are under this stupid, naive, ignorant belief that all of these crimes would no longer exist. It wouldn't be transferred to another weapon, or weapon-free, just go to fist. Can you actually imagine that they've got their heads buried so far in the sand that they actually believe this? It baffles me. It baffles me in this just utopian society that these anti-gunners would like to believe could exist somewhere. Go to any nation on earth that has banned guns, and you will see what it's like. What happens when you ban guns is society takes a dive. education goes down, crime goes up, and exports of goods out of that country, legitimate goods, go down. I'll give you a perfect example. It's called Jamaica. Jamaica has an all-right ban on guns. It is the murder capital of the Americas. They have huge budget problems. They have virtually little export goods. Their import-export, their gross domestic product is in the toilet. They rely almost solely on the travel industry. And look at Mexico. Look at the violence in Mexico. There's been a ban on guns. Has it worked? No. Is the violence up? Yes. Wherever you take guns away, violence goes up because people are now one-on-one. All right? Murders get brutal. Rapes get brutal. Everything gets more and more brutal when you ban guns. Guns belong in the hands of a civilized society, and they belong in the hands of civilized people to stop the attacks of the derelicts who would do us harm. And if you don't get that, you just don't want to look at the other side. When somebody comes to me with a subject or a topic that I don't know anything about, or know very little about, I try to learn as much about it so I can understand their position if I am initially set off by it. Then I can argue the point. If you don't know anything about guns and you haven't gone out and learned how to use them, you're ignorant, you got no use being on the pulpit. Stick around.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
I got to tell you, folks, during the breaks, my BlackBerry just blows up. I have a lot of people that are personal friends of mine that send me information and good stuff. And also, yesterday, I filled in for Dave Champion on the Dave Champion Show right here on RBN. He's Monday through Friday from, 3 to 4 p.m. Central Time, 1 to 2 Pacific. I sat in and had worked up a good show. I knew I was going to be sitting in for him yesterday and came up with the thought on how to get all the conservative-minded people in the U.S. who are virtually unrepresented because the Democrat Party is so far off to the left, it's ridiculous. They've actually adopted all the socialist principles of the Socialist Party. And the Republicans are now left of center. John F. Kennedy, who is considered a screaming liberal in his day, is far more conservative. We would be so much better off with JFK's ideas on how to run this country than the Republican Party. So the idea is to get conservatives who are literally unrepresented and don't want to go to some smaller party and waste a vote, something we can do. I encourage you to go online and download Dave's show from yesterday and listen to this with these callers that I had on there, some people involved in politics, and listen to that and kind of get in on this whole idea. I encourage you to do that. The gun is the great equalizer. Somebody once said, God created man, Sam Colt made them equal. As my good friend Ed Winchester, you've heard him on the show a couple times calling in, as he so appropriately put out there, the gun is the great equalizer. The gun itself is. However, in the hands of a trained person, it's no longer an equalizer. It's an edge up. We're talking about tactics and the ability to use a gun. Gun handling, marksmanship, and tactics. Really, the three parts of the gunfighting circle, the gunfighting mantra that will carry you through. You don't carry a gun for protection unless you know how to use it. You don't go driving a car unless you've learned how to drive. You don't go operating heavy machinery unless you've learned how to use it. You don't go using like a power saw unless you've been shown how to use it. Okay? It just makes common sense. With a gun, there's nothing that says you have to learn how to use it before you buy it. You have to be of good character. But there's nothing that says you have to learn how to load it, learn how to shoot it, learn a little bit about tactics, whatever it is you're going to be doing with the gun. There's nothing that says you have to learn how to do it before you buy it. Except common sense. That's the one thing that's missing from American society today is common sense. If we had common sense, we wouldn't be in the rut that we are. We wouldn't be in the political upheaval that we are. We wouldn't have such a divided nation when it comes to so many different topics if it came to common sense and we listened to each other and we listened to the opposing views of someone else and actually respected the opposing views, provided that person had all the information. It's when someone stands up on their soapbox and screams at the top of their lungs for a lifetime, that which you would spend a lifetime opposing is okay. As long as you both understand the entire subject matter, not just your position. I understand the ideals of anti-gunners. They want to see if there were no guns, it would be a nice, happy, peaceable, pot-smoking, love-making society. Wonderful, wouldn't it be? It's not going to happen, guys. I don't smoke weed. Never have, never will. Not my speed. You think that it's just going to be this wonderful utopian society because guns must be evil. No. Anything is evil in the hands of an evil person who has ill intent. The keyboard on my desk off this broadcast computer could be used as a weapon in the hands of someone evil. I'm sure you've seen many things on TV or in the movies where someone picks up a computer keyboard and smack somebody else in the head with it, right? That is now a weapon in the hands of a bad guy. It just doesn't have a point-and-click interface with the ballistics of a gun. The point-and-click interface on the keyboard has to come from brute force behind it. So if we take away guns, that means the larger, bulkier people in society will only make the smaller, meek people their victims. You give that smaller, weak person a gun and have them trained. Now, that big, ogre-ish, bad guy, derelict of society that would do this smaller, statured person harm is no longer the one with the hands, the one up, the leg up on the whole deal. That person can now defend themselves. Would you agree that that's a good thing? People who are not physically able to stop an attack, they have a device in the hands of a trained person that can stop the attack? And I got to tell you, if nothing else, just dishing out a little bit of needed justice for someone who's bringing harm to you that has imminent threat to cause you death or serious bodily injury, to shoot them to the ground, if nothing else, is a little bit of discipline that this person didn't get in some other part of their life that has now made them a danger to the life or serious bodily injury of the rest of society based on their whims or drug habits or whatever their blown out, ridiculous, out of line mind thinks. One man's opinion. Stick around through the break. This is Bill Carnes, 2A Radio, 2aradio.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
If you feel so angry, so ripped off, so stepped on, you're not the only one, so get up.
Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys. Little bit of news here. Let me read you a story. Legal advisor nominee advocates global gun control. All right. Last week, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee held a hearing on the nomination of Harold Koh, K-O-H, a former dean of the Yale Law School, to be legal advisor to the State Department. One of the many concerns with Koh is his belief that international organizations should be empowered to regulate the Second Amendment right to own a firearm. International organizations, that means foreign entities. He believes this one guy who's a Yale Law School, the dean, believes they should be able to come in. Now, this is obviously a guy who, because of his, I guess, legal wizardry, he believes that he should be able to push this agenda, even though knowing that this is not legal by the Constitution. For this guy, Harold Koh, to go so far as to be the dean of the Yale Law School and be considered as an appointee to be the legal advisor to the State Department of the United States of America, who is so far off the way that the Constitution of the United States is written, really, though, it's the foundation from which all law comes. Having international organizations come in and be able to dictate Second Amendment rights and regulate guns in America from a foreign body, a foreign entity, is so far off base. This guy shouldn't be allowed to practice law chasing ambulances in a two-horse town. On April 2nd, 2002, 7 years ago, Koh gave a speech to the Fordham University School of Law titled A World Drowning in Guns, where he mapped out his vision of global gun control. Koh advocated an international marking and tracing regime. Okay. He complained that the United States, here's a quote, the United States is now the major supplier of arms in the world, yet the United States and its allies do not trace their newly manufactured weapons in any consistent way. Koh advocated a UN-governed regime to force the U.S. to submit, quote, to submit information about their small arms production to the U.N. We would have to answer to the United Nations. Now, most of you who are out there realize the United Nations is not a good thing for the United States of America. The United Nations runs two-thirds of their budget. Two-thirds of their budget comes from you and I, from the United States. And within that, we really get nothing out of the UN. Absolutely nothing. It is the biggest single large-bodied waste of time on planet Earth today. Absolute waste of time. Koh supports the idea that the UN should be granted the power, quote, to standardize national laws and procedures with member states of regional organizations. Koh feels that the U.S. should, quote, establish a national firearms control system and a register of manufacturers, traders, importers, and exporters of guns to comply with international obligations. The regulatory regime would allow U.N. members such as Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, and Iran to have a say in what type of gun regulations are imposed on American citizens. Now, that's slanted. Of course, the person who wrote this is going to slant this toward the very far end of people we don't want to have anything to do with this. It would be every country that is a member of the United Nations. What is there, 144 countries that are members of the UN, almost every nation on Earth? What a waste of time. Taken to their logical conclusion, Koh's ideas could lead to a national database of firearms owners, as well as the use of international law to force the U.S. to pass laws to find out who owns guns. All who care about freedom should read his speech. It's available on keepandbeararms.com. It's a PDF file when you click on the link. Senators need to think long and hard about whether Koh's extreme views and international gun control are appropriate for America when they vote on his appointment to be the legal advisor to the U.S. Department of State. Can you imagine? This is the guy that's going to be legal advisor to the State Department. Unreal. Unreal. That we actually have people that would consider that. Absolutely unreal to me. I don't get it. I just don't. Why anybody like that would even be considered. Hey, we like that this guy's a gun control advocate. Let's get him in. However, he's supposed to be a legal professional of some kind. Sounds to me like he's a total crackpot. And this legal professional is so far off base with the laws and the design of the laws with the Constitution of the United States. He's so far off. How could you even consider someone so lame to do anything other than mow your lawn? I don't get it. Dean of Yale Law School. You know what? That right there pretty much tells me I don't ever want to have an attorney that ever went to Yale Law. Because if they learn from this guy, they probably are warped enough they don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't really get it. I mean, obviously, I do get it. Well, what I get is that the people in office that are looking to appoint these sorts of folks are the same people that want to end up eroding your rights. They don't like guns. They can't stand the Second Amendment. Could you imagine if the Second Amendment was never written? Where would we be in this country? If we did not have the Second Amendment, where would we be today? Where would we be? Would the politics and the policies and the presidents of past all been in office? Would we have just gone status quo with the exception of anything gun-related, just pull those little things out? Or would this have had a dramatic change in the history of the United States of America? Why do I carry a gun? Yes, I don't carry a gun to try and feel powerful. I carry a gun because I know that there are evil powers out there that would do me harm. And I carry a gun to protect myself and others if that comes to me. You don't have to live in a bad neighborhood. You don't have to go to a bad neighborhood. The bad neighborhood elements are mobile, and they will come to you. If you live, work, or otherwise operate in what would be considered a good neighborhood or a good area of town, guess what? That goodness that you enjoy is what the bad guys are looking for through ill-conceived means. They will come to you to get it because obviously that stuff is not going to be in their neighborhood where they operate. They're not going to get that far in their neighborhood where they operate. They want what you've got. So they're coming to get it, whether you like it or not, all over the U.S. The dregs of society are mobile. They know where to go. They know what to look for. The only thing that bad guys really, really fear, and it's not getting arrested, it's not doing time, it's citizens, armed citizens. It's you with a gun. That's what keeps bad guys in check. If they believe you've got a gun, they're not going anywhere near you. They're going to go find a victim that has decided that they aren't going to carry a gun and learn how to use it. So who are the victims out there? That's why anti-gunners are so pissed off, because they're the victims. They're the ones who won't carry the guns. And they see their buddies and friends and other people of the same idea being victims of crime. And what do they all have in common? They're not pro-gun. The people who are pro-gun that choose to arm themselves shoot the bad guys that come after them. Go to the NRA and look at the stories on their website. Look at the stories that come in the American Rifleman magazine, if you're an NRA member, that comes to you every month, called The Armed Citizen. Story after story after story of armed citizens that shoot bad guys that are there to do them harm. Serious harm. So what do? They defend themselves. Imagine what a lawless society this would be without guns and without people trained to use them. Can you imagine? As a matter of fact, I'm going to read you a message Ed Winchester sent to me. He said, what about contacting the family of the guy who loaned the AR-15 to see if they would give you copies of the transcripts to help her publicize their plight and get the facts out? That was in regards to the case that I talked about earlier today on the Olison case. And then a properly trained person in condition yellow will likely never be in a gunfight. Now, we talked once upon a time on the show about the different color code of mental awareness. Color, the condition yellow is really where you should live. Condition white would be your really kind of on vacation, you know. It's an all-inclusive resort. There's security around. You don't have to worry about any bad guys coming after you, right? You spent a few bucks. You've got like-minded people out there. Everybody's on vacation. And the property's secured from outside influences. Condition white, carry on. The rest of life should be in condition yellow. Now, anti-gunners would say, well, that's a condition of paranoia. No, it's not. Condition of paranoia is actually condition orange. Condition yellow is simply being aware of your surroundings. Who's in the car next to you? Do you have anybody? Do you look in your rearview mirror every once in a while and notice, is it the same car? Is it moving around? Are there others back there that are the same or moving around? You know, what about when you get out of your car and you go into a convenience store, your local stop and rob, as it were? Do you look around before you just, you know, you're text messaging on your phone, you get out, you walk in there, your head's buried. You have no idea you're about to walk into an armed robbery in progress. That happened to a law enforcement officer in Las Vegas back in the 70s, I believe it was. It wasn't text messaging, obviously, but he just wasn't paying attention, walked into a 7-Eleven. To an armed robbery in progress, not paying attention. He was on his way to work and got gunned down and killed. He wasn't paying attention. That's condition white. Condition yellow is keeping your head up. If you're in condition yellow, you're likely to never get into a gunfight. But even the dedicated few, the bad guys, if they're looking around and you make eye contact with them, they make eye contact with you, it's quite apparent that if you're making eye contact, you're either another bad guy or you're a good guy. And if you're a good guy and you've got your head up enough where you're noticing what's going on around you, they're not going to have the drop on you. And you are not they're not looking for a challenge. So then some of the anti-gunners would say, well, then why don't you just go in condition yellow and forget about carrying a gun? Well, that right there would stop a lot of crime. Absolutely would. As a matter of fact, a lot of people could get away with not carrying a gun and still never be the victim of a crime if they were in condition yellow and knew how to do it. The thing is, condition yellow brings confidence when you're armed. And in addition to that, if the bad guy, if you end up being the only person around, the bad guy's desperate enough, maybe they're on enough dope or whatever it is, and they're still going to bring the fight to you, there are a few dedicated small percentages out there. You're now prepared to handle it. But being in condition yellow prevents you from being the victim of most crimes throughout most people's lives. All of them? No. Do people carry a gun and they're not in condition yellow? Yes. Those are the people who get guns taken away from them. We had a caller a week or two ago that, yeah, I didn't carry a gun in Bosnia because I didn't want it taken away from me and used on me. That's a training issue. That's not having your head where it belongs, on your shoulders, up and looking around. Guys, if you ever notice, meat eaters have their eyes on the front of their forehead, the front of their head, rather. They have their eyes on the front of their head. Grass eaters have their eyes on the side of their head. Why? Because as they have their head down eating grass, they can look around for predators who are meat eaters that are looking to make them lunch. The predators who eat meat have their eyes on the front of their head universally. And these eyes are looking in a more focused field of view for their next meal. Okay, if you have your head down, looking at the ground, working on a text message, talking on something, you just simply look down to avoid eye contact. You're a grass eater. You're going to get eaten by a meat eater eventually. Someone is going to make you their victim. There's another word that you could use, make you their, then it has to do with the slang term for a female dog, not even slang term. All right, you're going to be their victim if you're looking down like a grass eater. Grass eaters get pounced on by the predators. The predators of society will notice that, and they will come after you. Don't be the victim. condition yellow, be aware. And buy yourself a gun, get some proper training, learn how to use it. Now, proper doesn't mean any training. It doesn't mean your neighbor who goes out and shoots skeet, now you want them to teach you how to, you know, use a defensive handgun. That ain't going to work. It's not going to work. Just because someone owns a gun and shoots in a specific field doesn't mean they can teach you defensive squat. All right? You need to learn how to get marksmanship in order and hit your target, do gun handling, which will keep your gun running, and then learn tactics. Which tactics is your ability to not get shot in a gunfight. That's the simplest way I can put it. There's actually a much wider view of tactics, but that's as simple as I can make it in an easy statement to convey to you. Your ability to not get shot in a gunfight. If you do get shot, what should you do? Carry on. You ever heard the term bang, you're dead? No. It's bang, you might have gotten shot. It's usually bang, they missed. If it does hit, bang, you're shot. Are you dead? No. Not generally. 86% survivability rate getting shot in an urban environment. I think that's better than being in a car accident or darn close to it. 86%, literally 9 out of 10 people shot on the streets of American cities today survive. Some who don't go into shock and die. One of the guys at the OK Corral was shot in the calf, in his leg, shot in the calf, below the knee, and died. He died from shock. Happens to a lot of people. Stick around. We're going to close out the show after this next break. This is Bill Carnes with 2A Radio.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, I've told you before about some stories in Montana. They passed a law. It will take effect in October of guns in Montana that are made in Montana, sold in Montana, held by Montana residents will be exempt from federal authority. Texas, it has legislation that they're debating on now to introduce the same idea potentially in Texas. In Utah, here's a story. Some Utah legislators are eyeing a bill aimed at preventing the federal government from regulating guns in the state. Montana's legislature recently passed a bill that Governor Brian Schweitzer signed into law that would exempt guns made in the state and keep within its borders from federal regulations, including registration, background checks, and dealer licensing. It is an idea that's appealing to some of Utah's conservative legislators who say President Barack Obama and the Democrat-controlled Congress are strongly anti-gun or trying to overstep their bounds on and infringing on states' rights. I think Montana's law preempts somewhat the federal government is trying to do right now in gun registration, says Representative Carl Wimmer, Republican of Harrington, Utah. This is something Utah should look into. We should look into several different avenues to reassert state rights. Wimmer said he or one of his colleagues may run a similar bill in next year's legislative session, and it's an idea that has traction amongst many legislators who are fiercely pro-gun rights and pro-states' rights. I wish I had thought of it, said Representative Ken Summerson, Republican of American Fork, Utah. I would support legislation like that in a heartbeat. Because basically the federal government is continuing to move to try to restrain guns. Imagine that. So this is what they're looking at. What they're going to do is they're going to let a little bit of time lapse, it looks like, and see what happens with the Montana law. As soon as the Montana law goes into effect, you can expect lawsuits challenging it, which will be great. It would be wonderful to see where it goes. It really would. I am waiting with bated breath, to use a term that my last wife used to use, waiting with bated breath, to see just what happens come October and come a lawsuit challenging that state's right to regulate guns their own way. Now, it's not removing background checks. It's not removing, keeping criminals away. It's up to the state to decide. And something tells me that the state has no interest in allowing criminals or children – as anti-gunners would believe, to buy guns. Something tells me they have no interest in allowing that sort of things to happen because that is simply irresponsible. It's irresponsible to allow criminals, people with criminal backgrounds, to own guns. Had a caller, I don't know, sometime last month saying, well, I believe once people have served their time, regardless of the conviction they had, they should be allowed to have guns. Well, I disagree. If you've been convicted of a felony, you can, after a certain amount of time, 5, 10 years, whatever it is, you can go to a judge and ask him to reinstate your rights. Then you can buy a gun. But to just arbitrarily allow whomever who has a conviction to buy a gun, I disagree with. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I know I enjoyed being here. I uploaded the Dave Champion Show from yesterday at 2aradio.com on the archives. Go check it out.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for spending your day with me.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.